So tonight I want to talk to you about what happens when we pray. And you say, "Hell, I know what happens." I know, but more happens than what you know happens when we pray. So I thank God for helping us. I pray that every one of you, if you're not in the habit of praying, on Sunday morning I mentioned to the crowd, I just pray that everybody could get in the habit of coming on Wednesday nights. See, because you're already in the habit. I mean, this is just what you do. You're here. And so many of us have gotten in the habit of tithing and giving. It's just what we do. We don't hold back. We do it. But the next thing is praying and reading your Bible. And if we get in these habits, I'm telling you, it changes our life for the better. And it changes our lives into, even when situations are, when how does that song go? Even when I don't see it, he's working. And even when we don't feel it, he's working. But that comes easier when you're praying, when you're reading your Bible, when you come midweek service. All of those things we mentioned, it comes much easier to believe he's a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, a light in the darkness. All that comes much better. So let's go to John chapter 10. I know that I've showed you this scripture. You should be familiar with it. But I want you to see John 10, verse 20. Let's look at verse 4, please. John 10 and verse 4. You know what? I'll say this. Do you know that Jesus has more faith and trust in us than we do in ourselves? How many times do you hear Christians say, "I can't hear him speaking to me," or "I don't even know if he sees me"? Well, what I'm about to give you is to prove all of that wrong, and these are things that we receive by faith. All right, let's look at John chapter 10, verse 4. I just told you that Jesus has more confidence in us than we do in ourselves. And these words are written in red. I want you to know these are words right out of Jesus' mouth. Now, what he says, really what Jesus says, no one else can really boast about but him. When he says, "I will save you," nobody else can say that. When he says, "I'm coming back to get you one day," no one else can say that. When he says, "I'll give you eternal life," no one else. But he said this, John 10, 4. And when he brings out his own sheep, that means those that are saved, Jesus, when he brings out his own sheep, he's talking about now a physical shepherd. Can I back up to verse 3? I'm sorry, Gabby. Let me get the whole picture here. He's giving John a metaphor or a picture of a normal sheep herder, one who takes care of the sheep, but he's talking about himself in this picture, all right? So 10 and verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. So the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. Verse 4, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep, they follow him. Why? They know his voice. You say, "I'm not sure I know it." No, he just said you do. You follow him every day because you're born again. So he says, "You followed me to church. You followed me to your prayer closet. You followed me when you were in your car talking to me." So he said, the sheep follow him. Why? Because he's the shepherd and they know his voice. Look at verse 5. This is so humbling to me. This is one of the sweetest things you'll ever read. Look at this. Verse 5. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Isn't that kind of heartbreaking? When you look at the church and you're like, "Jesus, you said they wouldn't follow when you're born again. We wouldn't follow a stranger." But how many times do you see the people of God following a stranger? Following the stranger. And he says, because you don't know the voice of strangers. Now, natural sheep, they don't know the voice of that of a stranger. So they won't follow that stranger. But he said, "Oh, my people don't either. They follow me because they know my voice." That's just awesome. So see, he has confidence and trust in us. He said, you all know me. You were saved by me. I gave you eternal life, so I know what you're going to do. You're going to come after me because you know my voice. When I speak to you, you hear me. All right, let's go on over to verse 11. Look at this. No, I'm sorry, 10:27. Let's go on down to, verse 27. And then he says it again. Jesus is now referring back to this picture he just painted of the shepherd and the sheep. In verse 27, he says, my sheep, mine, my sheep, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I know them, and they follow me. And I love it that he calls us his sheep. And he said, do y'all know me? You follow me? You hear me? And then he says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hands. So we stay close to Jesus. And here's what I want to remind you of tonight. Just a couple of real, real simple reminders. That when you pray, don't you forever, ever forget that you have an audience. You're not in there talking to the walls like my friend Sandy Bauer said to me once. She lives in Colorado now. And we were talking about praying that night. I think it was a Wednesday night. And I was teaching on prayer. And so Sandy says to me later on, she says, you know, you're talking about praying, and it's the hardest thing I do at home. And, you know, it really is, because the devil fights us not to pray because he knows how powerful it is and how it breaks the back of demons. I mean, he knows it's powerful. And so she says, well, I just have a hard time praying. I don't like to pray, and I don't like to pray out loud, she says, Sharon. I don't like to pray out loud. And I said, well, Sandy, why don't you like to pray out loud? She goes, oh, I just feel conspicuous. I feel like I'm talking to myself. My voice sounds funny when I pray out loud. Well, the Bible says that little Hannah was talking about having a baby to the Lord, and she was opening her mouth, but no words was coming out. So it's I don't think it's so much how loud you pray or soft you pray. The thing is this shepherd and sheep thing. That you know that when you pray, that you have an audience with him. I mean, you just do. You just do. When you say to your little girl, you say to her, Courtney, Coco, Coco, what does she do? She just comes running. Yes, Mom, what do you want? All you got to do, call your husband, call your wife, and then come. And then how do we get into the presence of the Lord? We say, Jesus, and he's there. And when he sees you coming into that secret place, I believe he's already there to meet you. And so you've got the audience. Now, let me tell you what prayer has done for me over the years. And by the way, not bragging, but I am so excited about it. Somebody ought to go buy me a cake to help me celebrate. I finished the New Testament today. And, oh, I get so thrilled. Now, it took me all year long to do it, okay? So that's nothing to write home about. It's because it's June now, and I started in January, because I always date when I start reading there. But I finished it. Now I'm going into Proverbs and Psalms. But when you just, and then I'm going to start all over. But I'll go back to the Old Testament. You just start all over. And so when you develop these habits of praying, and you develop the habit of understanding that, God, I don't have to know everything. All I need to know is that I do follow you. How many of you can say with me tonight, I know I follow him? Come on. Okay, you don't have, we don't need any false humility, and most of you were bold enough to say, oh, I follow him, I know him. How many of you could say, and I know his voice? Okay, less hands, because we're not always sure about that. Okay, why is that? I mean, we always know when the enemy's talking to us. You know what that devil said to me. You know what that devil did to me. Well, somebody calls you on your phone. I mean, you recognize the voice that you talk to the most. Okay, whoever you're talking to the most, you. Oh, hi, Susie. Somebody you haven't talked to in a while. Who is this? Well, we don't want to be that way, especially when Jesus says, oh, no, my sheep who follow me, they know my voice. And he, you know what? Isn't it neat that he was bragging on us? I mean, he was just plain old bragging on his kids. Oh, no, you come after me. And then he says, you won't even follow a stranger. You won't even go after them. All right, so we can't cut ourselves off. So when you're in prayer, I was about to say, here's what I've learned. In Bible reading, in meeting with him every single morning when I get up, for sometimes it's a couple hours, sometimes it's an hour, sometimes it's 3 hours. I don't have a set time, depending on how early I get up. And then get ready to come and have my breakfast, come into the office. That's a habit. It's something that I do. It's a part of my life. But you know what it's done for me? I'm telling you, it's just amazing. I draw strength from that. You'll draw strength. You know what? When you develop habits like that, you don't have to run over there when you're in trouble or something bad has happened in your life. You don't have to go have this big old crash course. And you don't have to say, oh, will you pray with me? Oh, well, I'm going to call a fast. We've got to fast and pray. No, you're already prayed up. You've already been in his presence. And you know when I don't see him working, when I don't feel it, you just somehow the strength comes out of walking with him. Somehow that strength comes from just reading your Bible. Even if it's just what takes me so long is I only read one chapter a day and sometimes a half a chapter a day. Because I don't have time because of my study. I don't read a lot. I don't read so much, but I study. So even if you read a half a chapter a day, just put it in. Put something of this, because it's him. And then understand when you're praying that he's there. Do you hear him? No. Do you see him? No. Most of the time you don't even hear him talking to you. But there's time during your day, you'll be going through something. All of a sudden, here will come this word. You're like, what? Where did that come from? And it's a comforting word. It's a pleasurable word. It's an encouraging word. And where that came from, Brother Kenny, was just that strength that you pulled on. So you just pull on the shepherd's strength. You just pull on it. And you weren't pulling on it, but I mean, it just came to you from that time in prayer and that time of the word and just being faithful, seeking after him tonight. He said, you seek me first and all those other things will be added. Well, you're here tonight seeking him first. You could have stayed home. You could have stayed. But you came here and he said, if you seek me first, I'll take care of the rest of your business. All right. So let's go over to John 15. I look at John 15. My sister Lainey was the first one that gave me this scripture. I wasn't acquainted with it. I think she was about 15, and I was about 18, or maybe a little older than that. I think I'm about 5 years older than her. Don't tell her I said that. But she said, I've got to show you this scripture. She says, you know, the Bible says in 5:15 that verse 16, that you didn't choose me, but I chose you. He chose us because you're my sheep and my pasture. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I've also appointed you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. So Jesus says, I have chosen you, and I've appointed you. So Lord Jesus, what have you appointed me to? And what have you appointed me for? Well, I'll tell you right now, whatever he's appointed you to and whatever he has appointed you for, the devil's going to fight you tooth and toenail to get it. He will fight you so hard to make sure you don't get it. So that's why these things that I'm giving you tonight are so important, that you start pulling these things together. You've already got your church life. You've already got salvation, so you have something going for you. So now, if you are not reading consistently, add that to the mix. If you are not praying consistently, add that to the mix. So you start to add these things, and you'll see what happens. So back to verse 15, chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you're in nothing, Bubba. Without me, you can do what? Not much. No, it didn't say not much. It says you can't do anything without me. To who? To those that are saved. Because there's more required of us. So he says, if you think you want to get out there on your own and do some things, it won't happen. Because look at verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they're burned. So he said, man, I am the vine, you are the branch, so don't get cut off from me. Because if you get cut off, this is going to be disastrous. Do you need something, Brother Rick? Oh, okay. So if you're cut off from him, you can't do anything. So he said, you just abide in me, I abide in you. What? Now, we can get him living in us, okay, pretty much. I still don't quite. No, I don't have the revelation of that. I mean, we all say, oh, I know Jesus lives in me. Well, we do to a point. But you know what? I think we would be a total different person if we really believed that he dwells in us. And it's something we need to ask him for the revelation of all the time. Because he said, not only if you abide in me and my words abide in you, that's why we have to get this abiding in us. Then if we do that, he said, there's nothing impossible for you. Look at verse 7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. And people are wondering why prayers don't get answered. Well, there's an abiding, there's a dwelling. We stay close to him. And I'm not saying, well, if you didn't get your prayer answered, you're not close to God. That's not true. So don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know what I'm saying? Dwell close to him and watch those things, hallelujah, be added. I'm just trying to get across to you tonight. Stay close to him. Stay close and draw from his strength. Sometimes we try to draw from maybe your husband's strength, your wife's strength, or somebody else's strength, or the church strength. No, you're going to only get your strength from him. And all those things help. But I want to show you something else very powerful. Let's go over to Daniel. Let's look at Daniel. I want to show you what happens to these kind of people. The ones we're talking to tonight, the saved, those that have Jesus, those that the shepherd keeps, the ones who hear his voice. Look at Daniel 11:32. Those who do wickedly against the covenant or against the promises of God, those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. The devil will flatter you. You'll flatter yourself. And it says, then you'll be all corrupted with flattery. But look at this. But, read this with me if you're reading above on and you got New King James. But the people, read it with me. But the people who know their God, they shall be strong and carry out great exploits. They shall be strong and do exploits. You know what exploits are? Exploits are something that just haven't been done before. I mean, these are the kind of notable miracles. These are the notable signs and miracles that you might read in the paper. These are things like, you're like, I can hardly grasp that. I can't even fathom that I prayed and that thing happened just like I prayed it. I mean, it just all lined up. But he said, it's the other people that are wicked, they're going against a covenant, they're going to see their day where it's going to be nothing but flattery from them, and it will lead them to corruption. You may be flattered on the job by another woman, or you may be flattered on the job by another man, and he says, and then if you're not careful, you can get caught up. Well, what is that? He said, it's nothing. It'll just corrupt you. But to my people who know their God, oh, you'll be strong. You'll be strong when everybody around you is falling. He said, what did the psalmist say? 10,000 may fall at my side. 1,000 on the right, 10,000 on the left. But he said, I'll get up. We get up. Oh, have we all fallen? Of course we've fallen. Sometimes you don't even know if you can get up. But he said, oh, no, my people. Do we have our problems? Of course we do. We have our stuff. But he said, I want you to know you got an audience with me, and I'm with you. But you'll be strong, and not only that, but in this hour when hell is breaking loose, and all the schisms and all the wickedness and all the lies are happening in the culture of the world, he said, but you'll be strong and you will be able to carry out exploits. Look that word up when you get home and let it speak to you. Okay, I'm about to quit here, but I just want to show you one more thing. Those who know him, turn over to Hebrews, please. Let's go over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and verse 19. Okay, verse 19. We're all familiar with Hebrews 10, 19. Here's what happens when we pray, too. Not only do we have an audience with him, but look at verse 19. He tells us how to come, where he is. Therefore, brethren, having boldness, he said, don't crawl into my presence. If you've done something wrong, if you've embarrassed yourself or you've hurt yourself or somebody else hurt your feelings, whatever, he says, don't crawl into my presence. You come on in there boldly with me. I'm your daddy. I'm your shepherd, and I'm watching you, and I love you. Now you enter on in to the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That's how you come in. You come in with my blood all over you by a new and a living way. It's new, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Look at verse 22. Let us, you need to circle that if you're, or highlight it on your phone or whatever you're looking at, your Bible. Let us draw near, draw near. He said, come to me, draw near, come where I am. I'm right there for you. You'll draw strength from me. So come, make sure you have a place at home. You remember when we always talked about the secret place? Men, if you've got to build you a little place outside with a lawnmower, whatever, or you got to put a chair in your closet or a chair in the bedroom, just make a place where, listen, when I go to my place in the morning to meet with the Lord to pray, it's right there in my bedroom. It's an oversized chair, Brother Duane. But when I go there, it's a happy place. It's so peaceful. And I can just go in there and sit down. And I know he's there. He's waiting on me. Maybe if he's not there, he's there when I get there. And he meets with me. And I don't hear a word from him, but I know he's with me. And sometimes I'll get a song in my heart. The other day I felt while I was just sitting there, this just came to me. Go get your Bible. And I was, I was praying about something. And I know what I was praying about. And it just seemed impossible. I didn't know where to go with it. And I heard, go get your Bible. Well, it was in the car. I left my bag in the car from Sunday. It was on Monday. He said, go get it. And I went out there, and when I felt that, it was highlighted. Like I always tell you, highlight in your Bible or highlight. When he highlights something to you, and you feel like he's done that, you need to go do it. And I knew when I got to my Bible, I knew I was going to see him talk to me. And I'm telling you, Brother Chris, he gave me those three verses, blew me out of the water when I saw those verses. So he's always with us when we're there. But we draw near to him. That's where you get close. You get really close to him. So make sure you have that secret place. Because look at verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart. Have a sweet, humble heart, knowing your shepherd. Knowing that shepherd says, you know my voice. And you know me. You're not going to follow anyone else. My mother used to think with my aunt, they'd say, oh, we just pray we get to go to heaven. We don't know if we're going to heaven. I said, what have you girls done that's so bad? Or you guys been out sinning? No, but we just don't know. And I'm like, are you saved? Well, yes. But they just couldn't hardly grasp it in their heart, you know, that they really belong to him. So here's what happens. Let us draw near with a true heart. So just come to him with an honest heart. Jesus, just be truthful. In full assurance of faith. Having our heart sprinkled with an evil conscience from an evil conscience. If your conscience is evil and it's telling you, look what you did, look what you said, look how you acted. And so your conscience will try to act up when you get over in the presence of the Lord. He said, but you come in there with that ugly conscience of yours telling how bad you are, how ugly you are, how gross you were, what you did, what you said. He said, no, bring that conscious to me, having our heart sprinkled. He said, I'll sprinkle. Now, I just sprinkled this man. I put water on him, baptized him before he passed, but he said, I'll sprinkle you with my blood from an evil conscience, because that kind of conscience is evil and it comes from the devil and don't like you and it don't want you to have any peace. He said, I'll sprinkle it. I'll sprinkle your heart from that evil conscience and I'll wash your body with pure water. I don't care how bad your body was. I'll clean it up. So let us hold fast with a confession of our what? Hope. Without wavering. So don't waver with it. He who promised is faithful. What did he say? My sheep know my voice. My sheep are not going to stray off. My sheep love me. Okay, if I start going into John 10, we may not get out of here tonight. I mean, John 17. Read this when you get home. Because when people say, pray for me, Pastor. Okay, how do we pray for each other? How do you pray for your friends? How do you pray for your friends? You say, Lord, give my friend a new car, a running car, a car that will be really good getting them to work, and a safe car. Lord, protect my children. Lord, take care of so-and-so. Lord, my finances are here or there, you know. Heal my friend's marriage. You got all these things we prayed for. But when Jesus prayed, he said, Lord, I pray that you will give them the same peace you gave me. Lord, the glory that you and I share, give it to them. Lord, let them all be one as we are one. That you, let's be one with them. I mean, you read all that in John 17. That should be the Lord's Prayer. John 17 has 26 verses in it. But he says, Lord, Jesus was getting ready to go. And he said, Lord, I'm not praying for these alone, the disciples. But I'm also praying for all those who will believe through their words. So Jesus prayed for us. He still prays for us. I'm going to stop there. I could just get lost in that John 17. But read it. Read it this week because Jesus prayed for us. Now, I want to say, when Jesus prayed for us, he still prays for us. When I get in my secret place, there's times when my heart is hurting or my mind is messed up and I'm intimidated or whatever's going on or something's trying to worry you or make you fret. When I get in there, you know what I say? I say, Laura, I say to him, Jesus, will you pray for me? Please pray for me. Because he's our intercessor. The Bible says he lives to make intercession. That's just way too big for my little mind to grasp. He lives to make intercession. And it says the Holy Spirit, he prays for us when we don't know how to pray. We don't know what we ought to pray. Romans 8:28. We don't know what to pray. The Holy Spirit. He makes intercession with words that can't even be uttered. That's where the tongues come from. So it's all right. You pray in tongues. You don't even know what you're saying, but he does. Come on, stand with me, Jesus. Oh, you're good. Thank you, sweet shepherd of the sheep. Oh, yes, Lord. That sweet little song says, gentle shepherd, come and lead us, for we need help to help us find the way. Gentle shepherd, come and lead us, for we need your help to find our way. Lord, we thank you. I thank you for your confidence in us. Why would you believe in us like that? You know how we are. You know we can be up one day higher and the next day lower. But we draw our strength from being in your presence. Listen, church, go there anyway. Read your Bible anyway. There's times where I have read my Bible. There's times where you sit there for 10 minutes and read and you don't even know what you read. But the devil's like, oh, no, there she is again. She's got that Bible in her hand. He doesn't know he's so stupid. And when you're praying, you just go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost. You don't even know how to pray. Amen. Come on, don't forget to pray this week, knowing that he's there where you pray. If you haven't started reading your Bible through, we'll start now and just keep reading. Amen. Hallelujah. Now may the Lord bless you, keep you, and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, turn his countenance toward you, and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for being here tonight. We'll see you Sunday morning.